dead.
So, joining us now, Bob, is a guy that we've been waiting a long time to talk to. He is from one of our favoritest shows of all time. Already, after only two seasons,
yep.
It's What We Do in the Shadows on FX and Hulu. He is Nandor the Relentless, Kayvon Novak.
Wow.
How are you, man?
Hello. I'm good. I'm very well. I kind of felt like I should really be doing my Nando voice now, not my my North London.
Yeah. Okay.
Voice.
I'm sure you get that because you know you got your hair is real. You know, on the show you got really long hair, and that is your hair in real life. I'm assuming you haven't cut it, have you?
It is.
Okay.
No. It's still getting in my mouth when I'm trying to eat a hot dog.
Okay, great. So now you're fully recognized and you know, you walk down the street and people are like, oh my God, there's Nandor or whatever. I know you've done a lot of stuff in the UK as well, but people probably think that you sound like that, right?
Well, I do tend to wear my hair like Nandor in the hope that people will go, hey, it's that guy from that show. So far, though, the hit rate's been quite low, mainly because everyone's just indoors wearing a mask, and
that's
it's
true.
Difficult to recognize me. But, you know, I thought even if I'm wearing a mask, then the hair's a good clue. But then I guess, yeah, if I did the voice, too, then they could probably help things.
Oh, there it is. Oh, it's so perfect. So you're from...
There it is.
You're from North London, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, West London.
Well, I have to pursue what I always do when I talk to someone from over there. Who's your club?
It's funny you should ask that because my club's a little bit further out than West or North London. I'm actually a Liverpool guy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow, my man. Yeah. This is so wonderful.
So, Bob, I have to... He is hardcore Liverpool. He goes over there every year for matches. And this past year, of course, when in the premiership, it was like, you know, he had a fourth child. So it was, you guys have a lot in common already.
Goodness. Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
No, this is...
The Reds.
Oh, it's up the Reds indeed. And it's so special to have this bond. I hope you, a little part of your heart is also broken about Virgil right now. And maybe we take this moment to wish him the best in his full recovery.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope the Van Dyck makes a good recovery.
Boy, I totally agree. So, Kayvon, if you don't mind, I'm familiar on a certain level known as YouTube of your career pre-Nandor. But how did you go from there, which appeared to be an awful lot of improv and just comic work to your vampire career? How'd you get from point A to point B, may I ask?
Wow, point A to point B. So I went to drama school. Before that, I was flunking pretty badly. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I got expelled from my school when I was 17 and went to a college. And in the college, I met someone who's friend was going to drama school, so we went, and on a Friday night we went down to this pub that they would drink at, and you know, meet all these actors and actresses, and I was like, oh wow, this is cool, I could definitely, you know, do this sounds great. So then I managed to get into this drama school, Webber Douglas, and did 2 years there, got my diploma. As this is a long answer, by the way, you know,
sure.
You have to cut this down. So where am I? Yeah, I'm still only in 1999. So basically, all right, Kyle, long story short, went to drama school, got an agent. My first jobs were basically, my first job was playing a Middle Eastern assassin. And then I played a Turkish pimp. And then I played an Asian doctor. And then I played another, but he wasn't Turkish. I think he might have been Tunisian. And then I was like, I'm kind of going around in circles a little bit. I got a little part in the George Clooney film Syriana.
Yeah.
Was playing a pimp. Was playing an arms dealer. Mm. And then I was like, it was all very serious work. And I'm like, actually, I think I'm quite funny and I do lots of voices. So then I tried to get this voiceover agent and it proved impossible. That no one wanted to take me on. So I started calling the voiceover agents up as different people from all around the world, recording it and then giving them the tapes and going, that guy that you spoke to that you thought was from Wisconsin is actually me. And so then I ended up getting a voiceover agent, but I started doing these crank calls. And then that led on to me doing a show in the UK called Phone Jacker, which is basically my kind of my break, I guess. I did it with a good friend of mine called Ed Tracy. And it's basically me doing playing different characters on the telephone. And then we would animate these calls. And we won a BAFTA for that. So we did two seasons of that. And then I did this show after. It's called Face Jacker, where I play the characters that I played over the telephone in prosthetics. And that was Face Jacker. And then we got nominated for a bunch more awards. And then I don't know what the hell happened. My career just went... I don't know what happened, but basically I had a beautiful 4 years, and then there's like, I guess, you know, you kind of, you make a splash with something and then it's maintaining that. So there was a period of 4 or 5 years where I was doing pilot after pilot, nothing was going, and I just felt like a big poo. And then I get this, I was into the movie, What We're Doing in the Shadows, I thought it was incredible. And then Thor Ragnarok came out, and I was like, oh my God, I'd love to work with Taika Waititi. He's amazing. This is incredible. And then I got this audition that they were doing the TV version of the movie, and I'm like, no way, no way. I'm never going to get this because I want this so badly. And I got the script, and I decided that he's going to talk like this, and his hair is going to be long and fluffy. And I went, and I met Alison Jones, who's one of the most prolific, incredible casting directors in Hollywood. That she does all of Curb Your Enthusiasm, everything. She came to London. She put me on tape, and then 2 months later, they were like, "You've got the part." And then we went to LA to do the pilot, and the rest is history.
Oh, boy, the rest.
It's been the most amazing journey. But basically, that's good.
That's a great
long version one day.
It's a great rags to riches story for sure.
And you broke out of the typecasting.
Yeah.
You did. You're not evil Middle Eastern guy anymore. This is Kayvon Novak. Yeah, Kayvon from What We Do in the Shadows. He plays Nandor, and we're massive fans. So you were aware of Taika Waititi. I was wondering, was he doing Jojo Rabbit while also working with you guys on Shadows?
I think he was doing that afterwards.
Okay.
He filmed it afterwards.
And were you aware of that beforehand? Right. Were you like going, dude, how are you going to sell Funny Hitler?
I was wondering, but I thought if anyone's going to pull off, it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And I was right.
Yeah.
You know, I think him and Jermaine Clement, I've got to give a shout out to Jermaine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are those guys on set?
An incredible.
Always? Are they always there?
During the pilot, they both directed it.
Okay.
Then season one, Jermaine was there for the whole time, and then Taika came and directed a couple of episodes. And then season two, Jermaine was there the whole time, and Taika was busy, you know, doing his other bits and bobs.
It's
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. That was very rude of me, and I've never actually.
I'd actually stopped speaking.
Oh, no wonder. That's a sign I picked up on. So Kayvon, we love this show, and there's so many details that I would love visiting with you about. But more than anything, I have found that it's difficult to explain the show to others who have never tried it. Like when I sell people on how great it is, I end up with, it's kind of The Office with vampires, and I feel like that's missing the sell job, but I imagine Nandor has been asked this a billion times, and so how do you describe it to someone who's never seen it?
You wish me to describe the show that I am appearing in?
Yes, you can do that, Nandor.
Yes.
Okay, well, basically what happens is they are woken from my slumber at about 6 p.m. And there's a film crew there, and they're like, hey, do you mind if we just, like, film you, like, doing stuff? And then I'm like, okay, fine. Can I look at the camera lens? And they're like, yeah, sure, just be yourself. I'm like, okay, you don't have to patronize me. And then I go about my chores. Well, Guillermo goes about my chores, and then, you know, I might have a little, you know, discussion with the house meeting and talk about things, and they would film that. And then, you know, maybe we go out with the Baron, you know, maybe for a night out of it, swing that too.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, maybe we would, you know, have to go to a vampire thing. And they would film that also. And then they put it out on network television with about, you know, 4,000 advertisements in the middle of it. I mean, what is this shit? What happened to me? I don't want to know up. I don't care if I take this and I might suffer hot flashes and erectile dysfunction. Put the show back on.
Oh,
and then like, watch it on Hulu because there are no advertisements up there.
That's
because
true.
That's great. I'm
glad that Nandor is aware of Hulu.
Does that answer your question? To be honest, I don't know what the hell Hulu is.
Yeah.
But they keep saying to mention it, so that's what they do.
That's very nice.
That's
of
brilliant.
You.
All right, did you guys know? Like you said, you read the script, obviously, and I don't know if you'd met the other actors at that point, but were you aware of how silly, dumb the vampires would be before you guys started shooting?
Well, I mean, I was a big fan of the movie anyway.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I guess you know doing the pilot was quite daunting because you're about to embark on something, an extension of something that you already love. You're playing a new character within that world. You've got the two guys who played the vampires that you loved from the movie that you loved, and you've got to basically be as good as they are. So you're like, oh, my God, this is very intimidating. And I feel also Nandor, you know, there's a real DNA with him from the original movie, you know, with the two main vampires, the Tycho and Jermaine characters, you know. Nando's a bit of a mishmash, you know. He's pedantic, but he's also a warrior. He's sexy, but he's also, you know, quite asexual. And, you know, being a funny vampire in front of two guys that basically played the funniest vampires you've ever seen that you love, you know. But, you
it's
know, they held my hand for a bit and, you know, they were amazing. They were like, they helped me find the right kind of tone and kind of how to pitch it, basically. And it just kind of, you know, with Matt, Barry, and Natasha, you know, I knew them before anyway. But then Harvey, Ian, and Mark Proch, you know, just, man, looking at then all the guest stars that we have, I'm in heaven every day at work. I really am.
Yeah, it's an incredible group. I think Matt Barry in particular, just in terms of how that works with you two, and then Guillermo's character is out of this world. I you know clearly I don't know much about the whole vampire world before falling in love with this because a lot of the other vampire shows just aren't my thing. But the relationship between you and your familiar, or Nandor and his familiar, I don't mean to keep talking to you like you're Nandor, but it makes the show. Guillermo's incredible.
He is. I mean, you know, he's the human that we all kind of use as an emotional punch bag. And, you know, he handles it with such grace. And I love the fact that, you know, spoiler alert, season 2, he finds out that, you know, there's a lot more to his backstory than he realized. And it's been amazing. I love it. And I love my story with him.
This is Kayvon Novak from What We Do in the Shadows, FX and Hulu.
You know, I didn't know that we would have the chemistry that we had. You know, it's a blessing that, you know, because they hired him. He was, I don't know whether you've heard the story of how he actually got hired, but they were looking for Guillermo for ages. And then he goes to a wine and cheese night, and at this wine and cheese night, a friend of his friends with someone else who's associated with the show, and the next day he gets a text saying, put yourself on tape for this, I think you'd be right for it, blah, 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 and then, you know, he gets the part. So never underestimate the power of a wine and cheese night.
You know, all the voices that you've done through the years, was the voice of Nandor, is it close to anything you've ever done before? Is it like a derivative of another voice, or is this totally original?
I definitely drew some inspiration from the film. There's a flatness there and the kind of goofiness. But I would say accent-wise, it's kind of it's somewhere in Eastern Europe. It's got that Eastern European vibe. Even though Nando is an Eastern European, but just, you know, some of the words that I said in the original, like the first audition that I got, you know, pillaging and killing, you know, these are just, if you find yourself as a performer enjoying saying certain words as with an accent, it kind of unlocks the funniness. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, it does.
Something in a certain accent, you can make words funny that wouldn't be funny if you said them in a different accent.
No, so that totally makes sense.
For me, his voice kind of unlocks the funny in all the stuff that he has to say.
There's no question.
Helps me think.
What, now this may be simply just grabbing a shirt and putting it on, but we have not stopped laughing because Nandor is obsessed with the 92 Dream Team. And as he was trying to become a citizen, and I was just curious how that came to be, or was it just really random?
That was the writers.
Okay.
Paul Sims, Stephanie Robinson, just deciding that he's got this crazy backstory where he loves the Dream Team of 1992, Jordan, Barkley, Bird. I can't remember any of the others.
No, it's funny. Man, that's so crazy. Yeah. Did you you got to meet Mark Hamill, and did your Star Wars fanboy come out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was nervous for 3 days before I only had one scene with him, and I was just absolutely just butterflies. And then, you know, you meet him and he's the most disarming, generous, wonderful guy who's a fan of the show. Ugh. So you're there waiting to gush, you know, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, and he's gushing, going, I love this show. I get my friends around. We have, like, watch parties of it. It's awesome. I can't believe I'm in it. I'm like, oh, my God, is this really happening right now? So that was very special for me. I really, meeting him and getting my picture with him was just everything.
Is there any chance that you guys have been able to get after season 3 at all with COVID and everything? Or is it in a holding pattern? Where are you guys at with the show?
We are getting after it in January.
Okay.
So we're going to start shooting end of January. That's the plan. COVID-safe set, all the protocols in place. Because, you know, lots of productions are back up and running, but they're just, you know, doing it in the safest way possible. So I feel we're in safe hands with FX. They do things the right way. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I should have been in Toronto now filming, but, you know, things get pushed back. It's been a crazy year.
It has.
Yeah. So this all took place because we're friends with John Solberg for years and years. John's from John's from the area. And John says that you do, and this is going to be funny for me and Bob, because nobody knows John that listens to our show, but John says that you do a killer impersonation of him.
I did an impression of him, and I did it to one person, and that one person went and told him and his son that I do an impression of him. I mean, you know, what can I say? Yeah, I do an impression of John Solberg, and I did like a thing for his birthday as well.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair enough.
Alana. It's all Alana's fault. But I guess your listeners won't. If I did an impression of John Solberg, they wouldn't know what the hell I was talking about.
They would think you're insane. They would think that you're insane. Well, listen, man, we can't thank you enough. Hopefully our paths cross at some point. We look forward to season 3. And as Bob and I have said many times on the air, this is quite simply the funniest thing that we've seen on television in decades. And you, my friend, reach out to John, I specifically requested you because you are my favorite character on there, and you do a killer job, man.
Bless you, man.
Yeah.
Listen, you know my folks actually went to university in Arlington.
They went to UTA?
Yeah.
You are kidding me. Yeah, dude, I'm from Arlington. I grew up there.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. My mom and dad, they went there. I know. And then they moved to San Francisco. We nearly lived in San Francisco. I was conceived in San Francisco. But, yeah, man, they were proper Arlington.
Wow.
It's wild. It sounds
a little. Yeah. So
It sounds a little more unique or high tone, I guess, if you are from Arlington and you go to school in London. But if you're London and you go to school in Arlington, it sounds a little backwards. I'm not going to lie to you.
It does. What did they study there? Did they meet there, or were they married and they went over there together?
No, they married. Yeah, they married at 19.
Wow.
Married at 19, left Tehran, Iran, and went there. There's a whole bunch of like Iranian students in in Arlington, Texas, right at the university in the early 70s.
All right.
My mom's graphic design, and my dad is, he study. I mean, he's a chartered accountant, but I think he must have done something with
that. All right, well, dude, when you do the when you have to trace the parental trail someday, come to Arlington. We'll be your gracious host.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh, I'd love that.
We'll talk about Mo Salah. We can talk about Mane, whoever you want.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Kayvon, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the evening and be safe over there, and we'll talk to you here soon.
You too, guys. Lovely to meet you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, brother.
Cheers.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So cool. So cool.
He really was relentless.
What a great dude.
His parents were moving Mavs.
I know. What are the odds?
So how does that work?
His parents went to UTA.
They decided, were his parents English?
No, Iranian.
From Iran. They escaped the Shah, think is what happened. A lot of people back then were kind of doing that.
That makes a lot of sense.
They got married at 19. They came straight to the U.S. to study.
So he was probably born in the late 70s?
He's 41. Okay. Yeah. So yes, exactly.
I'll be damned.
Yep, I know. Random.
And then settled in North London.
Yep.
And he likes Liverpool.
What's not to love about the guy?
Why is he not our new best friend?
He is.
I think he is.
We should call Jack White and tell him about it.
Just kind of put the pressure on a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to make Kevin Grohl mad.
I'm going to need a weekly with you, Jack.
Thank you very much to FX and Kayvon for that. All right, Joel Klatt next.